B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Now, for greater clarification, Trey, we need to talk to a man, been there, done that, and seen just about everything since he hung up his spikes. And that's our good friend, Ron Jaworski, and he's on the line with us right now. Ron, thank you for helping us wrap up the season on what is no longer really a football Monday or football Friday for us.
No, it's season's not over yet. It is for the Eagles. First of all, guys, Mark, Trey, Bob, been a pleasure being with you guys. Every Friday throughout the season, you guys work your tail off, have great information. Happy to join you guys and just add my two cents.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. It's our pleasure to have you on, Jaws, of course it is. And, you know, I try not to freak out over press conferences, Jaws, and there's so much to get to, but the thing that everyone's talking about today is still the press conference where Doug Peterson initially said his offensive coordinator and his wide receiver coach would be back. Yes, they'll be back. And then backtracked a little in the press conference, and then 24 hours later, not even, I guess the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, said, no, those two guys are gone. So what is your take on all the things that have taken place over the last 48 hours?
Yeah, it really was bizarre, and I really don't have an answer. And I think eventually the truth will come out. Everyone is kind of looking behind the door, seeing if they could find anything. Is it Jeffrey Lurie calling the shots? Is it Howie Roseman calling the shots? Is Doug calling the shots? It's just bizarre. It was a very strange press conference. It seemed at least from what I saw, Doug looked a little bit uncomfortable the way things have been shaking out, but. You know, these things happen. You know, it's unfortunate, but they happen. And certainly the season ended in a strange way, and it continues to be very strange.
So what do you want to bring in now? If let's say you're an advisor, you're in the front office with Howie or Doug, would you want to bring in somebody that Doug can have, I don't know, somebody with more pedigree, like a Mike Caldwell, for instance, or would you bring somebody in like a Kevin O'Connell out of Washington, who was a third-round draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, as a quarterback, someone that's a little bit more green? What would you go to, and what do you think the Eagles will go to help out this coaching staff in replacing Mike Groh?
I would bring in a veteran, proven coach. I've always been kind of a believer in that, at least from my perspective. As a head coach, I believe it helps a head coach to have a resource that has been through the battles, been through the wars, understands what it takes to be successful. I don't want a future coach in training. I like a guy that, you know, that when he speaks, people listen and they respect what he has to say. You know, and I think the smart coaches in this business are successful because they surround themselves with quality assistant coaches and they listen to them. That's why I would recommend getting a veteran coach that understands how the NFL works.
I 100% agree with you, especially after going with someone who did not have a lot of experience in Mike Groh, someone that spent maybe 6 years in the NFL versus a guy like Frank Reich, who was here and has been in the NFL either a coach or a player for a combined, 30, 35 years. Do you think the Eagles, though, if you're making a prediction, do you think the Eagles will go in that direction?
I would think so, although there's no guarantee. You know, Doug works in different ways, and, you know, hey, he's won a Super Bowl. He's been successful. But now the question is, you know, can you be successful long term? Can you win multiple Super Bowls? And as thrilled and happy as we were a couple of years ago, hey, we want more. And that's just the nature of sports. It's the nature of the fans. And, you know, it's up to Jeffrey and Howie and Doug, you know, and everyone in that front office to get it right again. This division is going to be a lot tougher. Mike McCarthy is an excellent football coach. I've known Mike for over 20 years. I used to go to Green Bay in the off season for their training camp. Mike used to run, in my opinion, the best off season quarterback training camps in the National Football League. Dak Prescott will be a better quarterback under Mike McCarthy than he ever was. Mike McCarthy is a good football coach. Ron Rivera, we are very familiar with Ron Rivera in this community. He was a coach here. I played against Ron when he was a Bears linebacker. He is a class act and he knows how to coach. So the coaching level has gotten a lot better. I'm not real familiar with Joe Judge, but you look at his pedigree, he's been around. There's got to be something good about him. He's a Lansdale guy, so he's a local guy. But this division just got a lot tougher, guys. There's those slappy coaches that have been hired. So you know, the Eagles have to continue to improve.
Well, I'll say this, Jaws, if we're just basing things off press conferences like we are this week with the Eagles, the Giants just won the Super Bowl. Because I don't know if you caught any of Joe Judge's press conference. It was better than McCarthy. It was better than Ron Rivera. And it was certainly better than Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman. He looks like a very intense head coach for a 38-year-old going into his first gig.
Yeah, and especially when a guy is kind of the, you know, guy that's at the bottom of most people's list. And you know, as you guys know, I was involved with the search committee to hire the Eagles coach 4 years ago when we chose Doug Peterson. Yeah, that worked out pretty good. But it was an incredible experience for me being with, you know, Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Don Smolinski, Tom Donahoe, and, you know, all the guys that were involved with that. It is a very, very in-depth process. I mean, it is, I could go on and on and on how deep these processes are and number of people that were researched and looked at and the questions that were asked and 10, 11, 12-hour interview processes. So, you know, this is a very important job and teams spend a lot of time finding the right person. So, you know, I'm really not surprised that, you know, a team once in a while uncovers, flips a rock over and there's someone there that they really like that comes out of the blue. So, you know, we'll see if he's the right guy, but clearly he was impressive.
Jaws, with contracts and past performances in mind, how much of a turnover do you think this roster will face this offseason?
I expect a lot of turnover. I really do. And I respect what the Eagles tried to do is keep the, you know, the Super Bowl team together as long as they can and maybe sneak in another rodeo, but it just didn't work out. You know, we talked about this, guys, a few weeks ago, that the Eagles were the second oldest team in the National Football League. By the way, the Patriots are the oldest team, and maybe Tom Brady has a lot to do with that at 42, but, you know, when you're an old team and you got beat up football players, you have a lot of injuries, and that's exactly how this played. And I respect what the Eagles did, what Howie did, what Jeffrey did, what Doug did. They tried to give those guys one last hurrah, keep the band together, and maybe get another one, but it didn't work out that way. And you know, I've had this conversation with Dick Vermeil many times, and Dick Vermeil was a very loyal guy to his players, and you can be loyal to a fault, and sometimes you keep a guy too long, and that's when you begin to regress. So that's why I say I think there will be change in this roster, and significant change. You know, Howie's already said it. They need to get younger. He's absolutely correct. They need to get faster. You look at the tape, and it's totally obvious. They need to get faster. They need to get quicker. They need to get younger. So that's the off-season mission.
So after wide receiver, Jaws, which I assume is your number one spot, where are you going to improve this team immediately?
You know, although it seems like historically the Eagles have not valued linebackers, as I see the evolution of the game right now in the NFL with these multiple wide receiver sets and scat backs on the backfield, I think the linebacker position is becoming much more valuable. And if you can find that stud linebacker that's a downhill player against the run and can cover in pass defense, I think that's a guy that would help this team. The Eagles have not had a top-notch linebacker in a number of years. I would like to see them acquire one.
Yeah. Jaws, can they put you back on a search committee for a linebacker? It worked for a coach.
Hey, I'll begin my draft work after the Super Bowl.
Fair. Yeah, enjoy your cigars. Enjoy your night out with Dicka and all that. And then get to the draft board.
No, no question. Hey, and by the way, the cigar party, Coach Dicka and I have been doing this for this is our 11th year doing it. It kicks off Super Bowl week on a Thursday night. We raise money for Gridiron Greats, which is the coach's favorite charity. And, of course, the Jaws' playbook is the beneficiary from my side, where we raise hundreds of thousands of dollars for at-risk youth in our community. So we always appreciate the support we get, especially from this community. And the Super Bowl party is kind of our cigar party is kind of the kickoff of the Super Bowl. So we have a lot of fun, and 1,000 of my closest friends always show up.
It really is incredible. We love that you were able to put that on and do such a great thing for the community. So Jaws, I do have to ask you this though. Speaking with Ron Jaworski, obviously. When it comes to hiring these new coaches, how things came off to the public after this press conference was that Howie and Doug seemed a little out of touch, and it seems like the owner came in and said, no, we're going to move in a different direction with our offensive coordinator and our wide receivers coach. Is that how you saw it, where it was maybe Jeffrey Lurie swooping in to kind of take care of it, or did you think it was maybe a realization after the press conference of Doug or Howie Roseman?
I really don't know, but of how this played out particularly, I think eventually, you know, it will come out. But what I do know is that Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, and Doug Peterson have always been on the same page. This would really be a difference maker if they didn't agree to these moves. How it happened, I think we'll find out. But I have always felt they have been on the same page as how they want to build this team and how they want to move this team forward. So it looks a little awkward right now. I have to agree with that. But for the most part, these guys literally have seen this team building and this team process through the same lens.
Is there any surprise to you that no fine has come out for Jadeveon Clowney or any type of punitive action?
Yes, I'm very surprised. I knew we'd be talking this morning, and I went through that play because I have my computer at home, and I can watch all the game tapes at home, and I looked at that play probably 100 times last night. I don't think it was a flagrant foul, but it clearly was helmet to helmet, and I am surprised, number one, a penalty wasn't called, and number two, a fine wasn't levied.
What is incidental helmet contact? Because I had never heard that until after that game.
Well, the league has been working in an incredible manner to make player safety the number one priority. Mm-hmm. And I think Roger Goodell, in this regard, has done a terrific job with that. In fact, guys, I was sitting with Roger Goodell mm-hmm. in his box when that play happened, and we had a discussion about it. And clearly, Roger is a guy that is always concerned about player safety. That's why I'm surprised that something hasn't come of it. Bang bang plays, they happen. I mean, it's just the nature of the game. But the league has been crystal clear about helmet to helmet contact, and that to me was a penalty without a doubt. 100% should have been called. And I am actually surprised. I already stated a fine has not been levied on Jadeveon Clowney.
Ron Jaworski, I'm with you, my friend. I'm absolutely with you. I'm shocked, as a matter of fact. Now, just real quick, football for this weekend. Is there any team that you really like? Like, who are your favorites right now to go at least to the conference finals?
Hey, I got to be honest with you guys. My preseason Super Bowl picks were the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I got one of the teams left. And, hey, I am a huge Andy Reid fan. I would call Andy one of my dear friends, and I'm rooting for the Chiefs in this one. And oh, by the way, way back in 1989, I was a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, so I'm pulling for a team that at one time actually paid me.
Ron Jaworski, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point in the offseason as well.
Well, at least around draft time, guys.
Oh, you're damn right. You got absolutely. It. You get back from that, you get that cigar smell off, and then we'll be talking.
Guys, it's going to be in Las Vegas. We got to do a road show.
Jaws, if you're inviting us, we'll see you there. No problem.
Hey, I know people.
There you go. Ron Jaworski, thanks so much, brother.
All right, thanks.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.